The scripture reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we'll read through verse 17. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with them." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and to be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things. I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." A Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. That's how John introduces him. Maybe that's what he had printed on his business cards. Perhaps his LinkedIn profile offered a little more detail. But this much is sure. It's safe to assume that Nicodemus was a good man, a religious man, well-read and respected in the synagogue and on the street. As a Pharisee, he was committed to living a righteous and holy life. Some have even surmised that he probably led a more upright life than many who identify with the moniker of born-again Christians. I wish we knew more of his backstory. What exactly was it that compelled him to venture out into the dark that night? What was so compelling about Jesus that he couldn't help himself but to leave the place of safety and shelter to pursue the wandering rabbi from Nazareth? Typically, comments on this passage focus on the protection of cover that was afforded Nicodemus by the darkness. The thought is that as a Pharisee, he didn't want to be discovered showing any interest in who Jesus was or what he had to say. It might not have set well with the powers that be down at the synagogue. Was that it? Is Nicodemus some kind of coward? If so, it might have been even more difficult for him to have ventured out. Think about it. I don't think Nicodemus was a coward. Cowards aren't prone to go walking around in the dark at night. In fact, he had enough courage to go despite the dangers and uncertainty of the darkness. Something welled up inside him and he couldn't sit still any longer. He had to move and he had to do it now, even in the dark. What was his backstory? What was keeping him up that night? Why couldn't he sleep? Why was he pacing back and forth, wringing his hands in restless torment? Back and forth across the floor he went in the most disconcerting of dances. But there were no answers to be found there. If Nicodemus was going to find any resolve for whatever it was that was troubling him, he was going to have to venture out and dance in the darkness of the night. We've all been there at one time or another, dancing in the dark. At the risk of projecting our own issues onto Nicodemus, it might be helpful to consider what might have compelled us to venture out into the unknown, to go someplace without knowing for sure what we were going to find, not knowing whether or not we'd find our way back, or if we did, whether we had returned the same person we were when we had left. Some of us who have dared to venture out into the darkness of the unknown have done so looking for the dawning of a new day. Maybe there was a restless, nagging feeling where we were. Maybe we were weary of the struggle, and the circumstances of life simply could not be faced for one more day. So we dance in the dark, waiting, hoping for the light of a new day to dawn. Sometimes it's a crisis casting a shadow over us that makes us and makes the dangers of darkness feel less frightful. Staying in the epicenter of pain, loss, or brokenness is every bit as frightening as the darkness that lies beyond us. What worse thing could possibly lie out there? So we dance in the dark, persuaded that it is only the dance between chaos and order where life progresses. Something there is about Jesus, the light of the world, that draws those who are dancing in the dark together around him like moths to a flame. Nicodemus gets just enough light to put one foot in front of the other. It's not as much light as he wants, but it's enough. In the glimmer of light that he gets, he goes to Jesus. He seems intrigued by Jesus' teaching as well as his miracles. Makes you wonder if he'd been watching the miracles live stream, or if he had seen his friends posting on Facebook the miracles that they had received from Jesus' hand. As he sees it, no one could do what Jesus had done unless Jesus was acting on behalf of God. But he still has questions. In Jesus, Nicodemus found a wise teacher. But even the words of Jesus seemed to leave Nicodemus still dancing in the dark. He had no idea what Jesus was talking about. Nicodemus is struggling because he's listening and thinking in literal and physical terms, but this conversation with Jesus was on a spiritual realm. Jesus effectively says that it is not a question of Nicodemus learning more of the same, but a radical shift. A shift in the way of thinking and being that is so radical that it is appropriate to call it being born again. Indeed, being born of the Spirit means that life becomes more unpredictable and less certain, for the wind, the Spirit, will blow where it blows. On the surface, it seems that Jesus had little to offer Nicodemus. What he did have to offer seems to simply be more of the same uncertainty with which Nicodemus was already dancing. Kingdom living, God's kingdom, is like being blown about by the wind. It requires relinquishing all efforts of control, surrendering yourself to where the Spirit will carry you next. This is more than venturing into unknown places. It's trusting yourself to be transformed by the Spirit of God. And this transformation is more than a simple or surface kind of change. This is a transformation that is so sweeping and so complete that you have a whole new life, a life from above. You are born of the Spirit. As it turns out, dancing in the dark is part of dancing with Jesus. Such a dance will often take us beyond the boundaries of what is familiar and comfortable or predictable. Faith almost always means venturing out, yielding to the urging of the Spirit with a certain reckless abandon. Anything can happen when it comes to the wind. If we started letting the wind of the Spirit blow through our lives, through our church, our families, who knows what might be blown out or blown in. Resentments and prejudices we have cherished for decades might blow out the window. In their place, a fragrant breeze bearing hope might begin to stir. We may feel our feet moving in new and unrehearsed directions, dancing a new dance. Maybe what Jesus was telling Nicodemus and is trying to tell us is that a life of faith will always be dancing in the dark. It will be like dancing with the wind that blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I think of Eugene Peterson's translation of verse 3 in Psalm 40. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. It seems that Nicodemus was one of those people. We see him again in the Gospel of John at the crucifixion of Jesus. He goes with Joseph of Arimathea to ask Pilate for the crucified body of Jesus. Nicodemus, John says, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, nearly 75 pounds in all. Following Jewish burial customs, they took Jesus' body and wrapped it with the spices and cloths. There was a garden in the place where Jesus was crucified. And in the garden, there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was Jewish preparation day and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus in it. Surely Nicodemus had to feel like he was still just dancing in the dark. He had seen Jesus crucified. Darkness had fallen over all the earth. Yet, Nicodemus danced on. He took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in linen with the spices, unaware that the linens would soon enough be cast aside. Entering the tomb, Nicodemus danced on in the dark. He buried his body and thought he had gone, not even imagining that in that dark tomb, the Lord of the dance still danced on. The Lenten call that is before us today is a call to dance in the dark, to enter the mystery and abandon ourselves to God, to dance with a reckless abandon when the sky turns black, to listen as the Lord of the dance says, "Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance," said he, "and I will lead you all wherever you may be. And I will lead you all in the dance," said he. Amen.